and thanks for joining us for this episode of the DINFOS Way, a Department of Defense podcast developed and produced at the Defense Information School. This program is dedicated to developing and showcasing the skills of military communicators, public affairs professionals, and industry experts from all over the world. I'm your host, Jack Rouse. I'm a former Navy and civilian journalist and a current training specialist here at DINFOS. Today, I'm excited to bring you a very special episode featuring guests from the Defense Information School's International Military Student Office. Under the Security Assistance Training Program, allied countries send students to DINFOS to enhance the knowledge, skills, and professionalism of their forces. Today, we'll dive into how this program fosters international partnerships, develops professional training capabilities, and promotes a better understanding of the United States and its values. Joining us to do exactly that are Mr. Jim Forbes. He's a media and public affairs instructor at DINFOS with over 30 years of experience in communications, and two international students, Major Antonetti from the Italian Air Force and Captain Verzali from the Malaysian Army. Together, they'll share their insights on the training, their unique experiences, and the significance of military communications in a global context. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us. We're great to be here.
Yeah, theme.
Thank you, Sarah.
Absolutely. It's not often that we have the table full, so it's nice to have everybody here. I've got a lot of people to look at. It's awesome. This is great as a podcast host.
Good. Fantastic.
Mr. Forbes, I wanted to start with you, if that's okay.
Sure.
Tell me a little bit, if you can, about your past and how you got to be an instructor here at DINFOS.
Ever since I can remember, I've been in communications in one form or the other, basically in three ways. Mostly as a TV news reporter anchor on six different locations on the East Coast. Was in radio, and I'm still in radio on the weekends at NBC News Radio.
Very cool.
In Rockville. And worked on the Hill for 8 years on the House side doing comms, director of communications. Worked for a nonprofit for 8 years and then came here. And the reason I wanted to do this is, A, teach students what I loved doing for all these years and serve my country in that way. So I absolutely love this job. I'm going on 2 years. It'll be 2 years in December.
That's awesome. It's the best, isn't it?
It really is. It really is, yes.
It's one of the best ways to leave a legacy behind, I think.
Absolutely, yeah.
I say that all the time. You know, I've got students out here doing the job and teaching other people to do the job.
Right.
Because I taught them that was the way to do it, and it's a good feeling.
Well, and you know, and we'll talk about this, I think, a little bit later, but when they implement some of the things they've learned here, when they go, our international students, when they go back, and we've got some terrific comm plans that are going to be put into action as soon as they return, and it's going to be neat to follow up and see how that's coming along. So that's exciting to think about that.
So regardless of what course they might take here, is that sort of what the overall goal is for the International Military Student Office, is for them to develop a comm plan of some kind and then take it home and put it into action?
Right. We cover pretty much everything in the way that I teach the course. I focus heavily on dealing with the media. And as you know, working in the business, it's so important to create that relationship and when you work with them on down the road, because it'll come in handy for both sides, not just the PAO, the public affairs officer. And so we delve into that. Like tomorrow, they're going over across the street to DMA to do interviews on a scenario that's been set up. But yeah, primarily it's to go back and they think of a problem or they think of an opportunity that they could build upon and then implement in their own command. And that's what they've done. We have six students, six different plans, all different. And, you know, sometimes they focus in on just recruitment, but this time it's everything in between. And so it's exciting to hear, because we had a gathering last night, and some of these plans could actually save lives if put into place. So it's exciting to think about things like that.
Can you give me an example of something like that?
Yeah, you know, everything from how to protect against malaria and mosquitoes and things like that in one plan, which we can talk about a little bit later, to emergency response to after an earthquake takes place and alerting residents of where to go, what not to do, what to do, things like that, that Americans, we take for granted that that's already in place, whether it's an Amber Alert or things like that. So just, you know, things like that. One of the plans, Captain Sufiano will talk about just taking four different types of communication and getting everybody on the same page so that it's more effective. And, you know, we don't think about that, really. But if you're going in four different directions, especially in a military occupation, that's not going to work very well. And that's what he's going to focus on.
Wow, that's amazing. So real-world applications right away.
Yeah.
Did you have the understanding that that's what it was going to be like when you came here? Or was this something that you discovered when you arrived at Denfos and have now kind of put that plan into action?
Because I have the experience in my workplace, mm-hmm. and I saw that the importance of the, if we can communicate in one way or in one language, so that's why when I came here and I got the knowledge that been taught by our instructors about the communication, and then I realized that I can implement that communication planning, all the guidance that they taught us, into our military. So that means we can have a proper and organized a communication plan.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What was your overall goal, Captain, when you decided that you were going to come to Denfos or got the heads up that you were coming to the schoolhouse? What were your goals before you arrived here?
Basically, when I got offered to attend this course, I feel very excited because I got an opportunity to learn from the subject matter expert in military media relation and also communication. And I hope that I can gain a lot of knowledge and also and learn the method and also the practice. And I want to help raise the standard of military, Malaysian Army military public affairs.
Awesome. And Major, did you have similar goals or what were your goals before you arrived at Denfos?
Yeah. Good afternoon to good everyone and to the listeners too. I've been in the PIO since 2013, so okay. I have some experience, quite experience in the public affair. But I think that in the life we never stop learning. So I was really excited to come here because I would like to understand and improve my skills on the public affair. So I think it was a great opportunity because thanks to Mr. Forbes and all the Info School, we had the opportunity to get a lot of things, a lot of tools to work better in our country.
What have been some of the key takeaways that you've had from this course and some of the things that you'll take home with you?
For sure, as I told in private with Mr. Forbes, I take away the way to provide an effective response. So with message to individuate a message and create some talking points to explain to enforce this kind of message. And otherwise, another things that I think is very useful is a briefing card, because briefing card is just a paper that you can bring with you, check if you need to review some things very quickly. So I think these two tools are very useful for us.
That's excellent. I agree with you. Mr. Forbes, what kind of classes can the international military students take when they're here at Denfos?
Well, we do a number of things, and it could come from a lecture by an outside journalist coming in. I call some of my former colleagues to come in and talk to the class because I also teach at PAX-Q as well. Normally, that's done by a Google Meet where they're live and the students can ask them questions and things like that. I had a former student of mine in PAX-Q come over just with these students, my PACA students, and talk to them. He's in Okinawa right now as a Marine, and he's a brand new PAO, and you talk about having stories already. And he talked to them about some of the things they'll be facing, what was important that he took away, you know, what they need to focus in on. And the Major already talked about some of those things right away, but you and I know how important it is. It's our job to communicate. I was on the other side of the mic for years, and you know we had to find out things. That was our job, is to learn and go to PAOs, and whether it was a nonprofit or an NGO or whatever it was, and get their information from the court system in whatever capacity, sheriff's department. But their job is to talk to us so that we can educate our viewers and listeners and readers. And so if we don't know how to do that effectively, it creates all sorts of problems. And you compound that with the military, which makes it 10 times as worse.
Yeah.
You know, because just saying I don't know or not returning phone calls or things like that, that's why that relationship with the media is so, so important.
And it sounds like, you know, the overall goal of the International Military Student Office is to make sure that some of these really vital skills that we're teaching, you know, our own service members get translated to our international allies and to our folks out large out there. And from what I'm hearing, it sounds like they're getting essentially the exact same knowledge.
Yeah, they are. And there are a couple things we don't go down in the, I call it down in the weeds so much, you know, in a couple courses, especially with dealing with U.S. military tactics, you know, as compared to Italy or Malaysia or whatever student we have. But yes, on the wave top, it's pretty much the same. It's if you receive a call, here's what you do. Here's how you handle the information. Here's how you talk to the reporter. Here's how you respond, how to do a press conference, how to do interview techniques, just like what you're doing right now. They're essential in doing a big part of communication today. And whether it's, you know, the major also mentioned this, it's a briefing card. It's sitting down with my commander saying, here's who we're talking to today. Here's the messaging that we're trying to get across. And then later, how do I manage that messaging worked, what we set out to do? There's so much to this that people don't realize. And it's a very, as I tell these students, it's a very important job that they do. It's incredibly important.
And Captain, how have...
Yes.
Some of the things that you've learned here to translate to what you do in the Malaysian Army, is this very similar to the tactics and techniques that you learned there, or is this new instruction that you're excited to bring back, or sort of how does it compare to what you learn as a public affairs officer in the Malaysian Army?
Basically, in here in the Air Force, our instructor have taught us how to, beside from the communication plan, they also taught us how to craft a clear message, and also the way to how to deliver the message effectively, how to give a good response, and also, and so that our message and our response is aligned with the military objective, and also learn how to media engagement and also crisis communication skills.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And then I guess same question, Major, does this, the skills you're learning here compare to what you're teaching young communicators and other communicators in the Italian Air Force?
Yeah. Italy and U.S., so, you know, as I'm NATO member, we have quite similar procedures and things that we do in the same way, because we work together in the operations or in the exercise. So we are very close to us. Something that I bring back to my at home is the way to we deliver the messages to the audience, our audience, so effectively with as Sufyan said, the captain said before. Send the message effectively is one of the things that I bring at home.
That's great. You know, it's nice to hear and to know that the same things that I tell my students are the same things that you're telling your students and the same things that you are telling your students and the same things that we're all kind of learning together. And I'm excited for you to take home those effective techniques and utilize them in your own neighborhoods. I mean, that's so great to see. How do you, Mr. Forbes, take the training that we deliver here and sort of make it unique to the international military student experience?
That's a great question. What I try to do is, in each iteration, whether it's PACIS, the international students, or our American-based students, I always learn best from my professors who taught me real-life scenarios. They were actually there. One of my best professors was anchorman that when I went home at night, I could watch him on the air. And that's right when adjuncts were starting to work.
Yeah.
And I just remember that had the biggest impact on me. And I'd try to do the same because I learned a lot working on Capitol Hill. It was just a constant learning process from a lot like the military, where from day one, it was like learning a new language.
Yeah,
and for them, they already have that, unless I'm working, because I do work with civilian students. But I would put them in the scenario, and many times, as these guys know, I'll say, what would you do in that situation? Mm-hmm. And I won't tell them what I did. Sometimes it's the right thing. Sometimes it's the wrong thing. But I think in any real life scenario, that's when you really learn is, what if a reporter's mad at you? What if your boss says, I don't want to talk to this person anymore? Do we put them on a blacklist where we don't talk to them? Is that the way I handle things? What if they get something wrong? And the list just grows and grows. And that's what I try to remember, because I've got 1,000 different examples of, and you know, basic communication is universal.
For sure.
It really is. I mean, and that's one of the favorite parts of this course to me is just allowing them to sit in the room and talk to each other about different things, whether it's their family life or their kids or, you know, just different things like that. I love these guys. I mean, this has been a blessing for 5 weeks, and I've learned so much. And let me throw this in. We do a country briefing try to do it every week. I mean, they've all done it now, but where they stand up and they get to brag about their country. Who doesn't want to do that?
For sure.
You know, and that's where you really learn, and we get to ask questions. Sometimes we learn things we don't want to know, but but it's fun. So, yeah, this has just been an incredible experience so far.
How big is learning from each other been as a part of this course for you guys?
Mm-hmm. At Air Force, I learned how to respect cultural difference and also adapt communication strategy to reach a diverse audience. And in this course, I managed to interact with military personnel from other countries that helped me build a relations and also improve my understanding to our mutual understanding. And also this can enhance or help me to improve my social capabilities to interact with them in the futures. And that's it.
Yeah. I mean, I see you guys walking down the hall together. You look like you're having a good time every time I see you.
Yeah, we always have a good time together. We laugh together.
I think it says a lot when I say, what did you do last night? And they're still all together doing something.
That's great.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, I've been here for a while and I've seen a lot of international students, and not that they're lone wolves or anything, but you guys all have a very unique relationship with each other as I see you walking around. So that's really cool to see.
Yep. Let me add something. I agree with Captain Razali. We had a great period all together. I learned a lot from each other because one of the best things that we learn here is the intercultural between us, because each of us as a different culture, basically, but we have in common the values. Mm-hmm. All of us have as the same values, and Mr. Forbes and the school teach us how communicate these values from for our country.
Yeah,
that's an important thing, I think.
I think so too. Yeah. That's why I think that you're also so valuable here to us, because your experiences, the conversations that you have with other instructors, with students, are constantly giving us those unique viewpoints and experiences that help us grow and change as communicators too. So you're incredibly valuable to the schoolhouse, which is just great. And again, thank you for that. Mr. Forbes, how do their unique experiences kind of change the course itself, and then also how you look at the course and how you instruct?
Well, as time goes on, you know, and they decide what their plan is going to be, whether it's, you know, again, recruiting more people in the military, which this time we didn't have one of those, but I think the course then morphs in that direction for them, because it's, you know, you want to focus your time and the instructors do on how can we make this the best plan that they have. So when they go back, like two of the other plans, I'm just proud of all of them. They're fantastic plans. One of our excellent students comes from Jordan, and he wants to help, you know, Palestinians in the situation there. And it's just a fantastic idea. Again, this could help save lives. And then, you know, in Senegal, they're just starting a basis of a communication school to help other students want to do this, become public affairs officers. That's her plan. So I think it at least for me, I focus on each different plan and gear the course. I mean, even though the structure remains the same, it's maybe it varies in ways that I teach it based on their plan. And that's what I try to do, is be sensitive to that.
Do your groups of students usually number, say, obviously our audience can't see, but we've got the rest of the class in here hanging out in the back and watching us do this. So do they normally number around 6-7 students, or do you get more than that? Or does
this,
it vary?
This is only my second. The first one had 9. We had 16 signed up, and then when certain things happened with cutbacks, it was, you know, we had 6. And honestly, I'm glad we had 6, because we could do a lot. Like with field trips, which we take a lot of, we have one mode of transportation. We're going to the Italian embassy that we're going to go Friday, and then also go to DC News Now go to a real working TV station. And a former alumni of here, Liberty Simmons, is a reporter there, and so she's going to meet us and talk to them about what school was like for her, or the DINFOS.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Because I think what better way to teach them and then somebody who's been here, you know?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
And somebody who is a communicator, obviously, in the professional field. Major, that leads me to a very important question I didn't know I was going to ask you, but do you know what you're having to eat at the Italian?
while Mr. Fobb was talking, I thinking, in this school, you teach us to tell the truth, right? So the visiting to the Italian embassy is to teach us who are the real creator of the pizza.
I knew there was going to be a good answer. Thank you.
Yeah, he reminds us of that many times. So
listen, that's what half of my YouTube feed is just real Italians making delicious pizza, and it's convinced me I need to go. I'm missing out terribly.
Yeah.
We're excited. We're excited. We really are. So we'll see.
Come with us if you want.
Yes, you can.
I may have to take you up on that. What best practices would you suggest as it comes to communications for any of our young military communicators or military communicators or international students? Or from your perspective, what are some of the things that they should be concentrating on at this stage?
That's an easy answer for me, because I tell them a lot. I said, hopefully after this course, you'll watch news differently now, because I always do that. After 30 years of being a reporter and whatever, anchor, it's like, did you really mean to say that? Or you could have said this. You know, I'm always watching TV now in a different way. And hopefully I'd like them to do that, because, you know, to maybe every now and then say, I really liked how he or she answered that. And, you know, I'll use that in my next answer, or this can be improved on, or this is really effective, how their body language was, or whatever the situation is. That's how I, you know, it's like, I'm sure actors, when they go to movies after being in Hollywood, they watch movies differently now because they play the parts. And we're now playing the part of being an effective communicator. And I did, I told them that. I think on the first week, I just said, hopefully by the end of this, because I always do this, whether it's listening to WTOP coming into work or whatever I'm listening to, is how can I pick that up or make it better, or, you know, adapt that in the way I communicate with other people as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And since you gentlemen have now been through some of our DINFOS courses as well, do you have any suggestions for international students thinking about coming to DINFOS, or folks who are getting ready to go through any of our courses, and anything they should think about ahead of time or be prepared for before they come?
I suggest to them they must be here, because is that course give us Yes, a lot of skills in the public affairs environment, but also let us to know the culture of the United States. As Mr. Forbes said, we had a lot of field trip, right, around the United States. It's an opportunity also for us to visit a new country. For example, for me, it was my first time here. I never been there. And I travel a lot around the area. So the field trip was incredible. The Arlington Cemetery, for example, mm-hmm. was fantastic. Also the Iwo Jima Memorial, it's fantastic too. So it's a good opportunity to know other culture, the United States one, and also the other one for the other students.
Yeah. What do you think?
And for me, I'm proud to be part of this program. And for the others or the listener who got an opportunity to come to DINFOS, I would greatly encourage them to take this opportunity to learn from the best of the best. The school, the DINFOS, and also the instructor here, they are very experienced person and very expert in this matter. And they should take this opportunity to gain a lot of knowledge and everything they got, they can. Because they can brought all this knowledge and then apply to their country. Because it will help and also strengthen the way they communicate with the audience.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Can I add something too?
Sure.
Last night we had a social, and we have one every time the semester's iteration's about to end. And the commandant said this to them along with Colonel Jackson last night, our commandant. And I mean, I tell them they're the best of the best. And it's hard to get here and take this position, and they earned this. And I know that from being in the classroom, how smart they are. And they're going to do amazing things. And so just to know, you know, that's exciting for us to let them go out and then hopefully encourage others to think about this and do the same thing and maybe come back and be a part of this as well. But, you know, they're a special group. They really are.
And I think that what's most important from everything that we've discussed today is, and you've hit it on a couple times, is the knowledge of both your students and you and the schoolhouse that we're sending them back with real world knowledge that they can apply immediately in a way that can save lives. And
right.
That's incredibly important and vital to everyone's mission.
It sure is. Definitely.
Do you guys have anything else you want to add before I let you go?
Now, thanks. Thank you very much for this opportunity. I try to come back again here
because
it was our greatest experience, really.
Man, again, thank you guys so much for joining us. Was it all you'd hoped for, Sue, Captain?
Okay, last word for me. Well, basically, I'm really happy, and because of I got the opportunity to come here, and also I got an opportunity to learn from at DINFOS. And also I have the same hope with the Major Antinotti, because I hope that I can come here again, because I still got a lot of place that I didn't have a chance to go.
Yeah, and also I don't know how long you guys have been here, but you've missed the most important thing, which is the Maryland crab season, because that still hasn't come yet. So you'll definitely have to come back. If you haven't been to a baseball game, I highly suggest going to Oriole Park. So we'd be happy to have you back, guys. And thank you again for joining me today. I really appreciate it. Mr. Forbes, thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much.
We'd be happy to have you back.
So. I would love to do that. Let me just say that because I'm still relatively new here, and I love the DINFOS family. Everybody helps everyone. And you know, being a civilian, not having a military background, I had so many people step forward and say, I'll help you in dealing with the transition, you know, to this job. And it's just been fantastic. I love it here. So,
yeah, me too.
Thanks.
I think that's why we get along.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. If you guys in the audience have any questions for us, please reach out to us here at DINFOS. Thanks for listening. I hope you guys have a great day.
You too.
Yeah, you too.
You too.